to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 19. Let's get started.
Okay. This is Sister J. I'm doing the recap today, so it's going to be long. So for all y'all that don't want a long one, skip ahead. This is True Blood, their episode 29 called Trouble. And as you recall, we start out in King Russell's mansion, and Tara is in the foyer with Franklin. They're waiting for King Russell to come back. And Talbot is smelling Tara, and he's saying, spicy. Who's a pretty girl? And, you know, she's kind of looking at him kind of crazy. And, you know, Franklin is posing Tara in one of the formal dining room chairs. And he's fixing her legs. And he's still got her arms tied up and everything. So, of course, he's telling, you know, he's trying to shoo Talbot away from her. And Franklin says something about, you know, don't mind him. Talbot's only the cleaning lady. And, of course, Talbot gets mad and bares his teeth. And Franklin bares his teeth. And then in walks King Russell and Lorena and Bill laughing and, you know, talking because they just fed. And they enter and everything. And Tara's looking all wild-eyed. And she's, Bill? And Lorena is asking Bill, you know her? And, excuse me. And Tara's telling her, well, I thought I did. So Talbot is asking King Russell, why is Franklin there? Because, you know, he doesn't like Franklin. Him and Franklin just don't get along. And Franklin is telling the king that he bought him a present. And so King Russell says, well, let's go on to the study. And when Talbot protests, and he says, you're not supposed to bring work home. And King Russell lets him know, I'm the king, you know. So anyway, Franklin and King Russell go on to the study. And while they're going to the study, Tara's looking at Bill like, aren't you going to help me? Aren't you going to do something? And Bill's looking at her and he says, no. And he just kind of turns around and walks on up the stairs to his room. And Lorena just looks at her and she follows Bill up to his room. Then we go back, we go to the study with King Russell and Talbot in there. And King Russell and Franklin in the study. And Franklin gives King Russell a file, the file on Suki Stackhouse that he found at Bill's house. Excuse me. And the king asks him, you know, why is he dragging that girl all around? You know, which is mighty sloppy. And the king says something very interesting. He says, I'm tired of cleaning up after you. So, And Franklin assures King Russell that, you know, this one's different. And because she's such a disaster, just like he is. And, you know, she is just like him. And the king laughs and says, you know, Franklin, you were always a freak. But you do real good work, so. And he is looking through the file and he realizes that Bill Compton has been lying to him about Suki and about a whole lot of stuff. And so he says, well, he says, you know, the waitress already got past us one time when, you know, I sent some wolves to get them. To get her, maybe I should send you to Bon Tom to get Suki Stackhouse. And Franklin lets him know, you don't have to do anything because she's right here in Jackson. So the King Russell is very, very pleased. Upstairs, while they're meeting in the study, upstairs, Lorena has followed Bill up to his room. And Lorena is, you know, kind of teasing him, like saying, you know, well, I really do like this little hard to, you know, playing hard to get game and stuff, because then that makes it that much sweeter when we get back together. And Bill gives her this real kind of smirky look, and he says, you know, Russell was right. You're not very smart. You played yourself into a corner, you tiresome gal. And then he goes in his room and slams the door in her face. So she's looking all moated. The next scene we're in, we see Suki and Alcide driving in Alcide's truck, and he's driving wild because, you know, as you recall, they just escaped from Lou Pines when all those werewolves, the Nazi werewolf pack, they were all changing into their wolves after drinking King Russell's blood. So Suki is telling him, you know, I'm not about to die just because of your shitty girlfriend, so you need to slow down. So Alcide, you know, stops the truck and he says, you know, Debbie wasn't always that way. She used to be really nice when she wasn't either drinking or cheating on him, you know. So Sookie wants to know about Russell Edgington. And Alcide tells her that all he knows is he's just some rich vampire in town. So she says, well, he probably knows where Bill is, so I need to go see him. We're back at King Russell's house, and in this scene, this is one of my favorite scenes, Talbot, we see Talbot, he's inspecting some linen, that one of the servants is showing him, and he's waving him off like, yeah, that's fine, you know, go make the beds or whatever. And then in walks Eric, and Eric is being escorted by four security guards, and they have him by his arms, and Eric is protesting because he's saying, look, I come in peace, you know, this is not necessary. So Talbot is instantly smitten by Eric and the way he looks, because, you know, Eric is so blonde and tall and everything. And so Eric introduces himself. He tells him, you know, I'm Eric Northman, I'm the sheriff in Area 5 in Louisiana, and I've come to see the king. And so, you know, Talbot's saying, I'm the royal consort. It was so hilarious. But anyway, he says, well, let me facilitate. So he calls Russell. He calls up the stairs to Russell, but he's really eyeing Eric, you know. Excuse me. So the next time we see King Russell, he and Talbot are sitting at the table at the formal dining table with Eric. And Eric is telling the king that, you know, one of his vampires has gone missing. His name is Bill Compton, and he's wanted for selling vampire blood. So King Russell said, oh, really? I find that kind of hard to believe. Why don't we ask him? And in walks Bill. And Bill is kind of upset that Eric's trying to pin it on him. So King Russell lets Eric know that, you know, we already know that your queen is selling the vampire blood, or that you're selling it for your queen, but she's behind it. And so, you know, Eric does apologize to King Russell, which he really did like. And he apologizes for lying to him. And he says, you know, he had to do that. He had to sell the V because his queen commanded him to. And unless he takes Bill Compton back to Bon Ton with him, the magister's going to kill his progeny, which we know is Pam. And so it's really cute. Talbot says, oh, that's so sad, you know. So, anyway, but Eric is asking Bill, when Bill first comes in the room, oh, so you're here of your own accord. And Bill lets him know, yeah, you know, I've renounced my allegiance to Queen Sophie Anne, and I'm now aligned with King Russell. And so Eric gives him this look, and he says, oh, so that means, and so Bill, you know, kind of beats him to the punch. He says, yes, that means Sookie is no longer mine. So Eric just kind of smiles a little bit, you know. And so King Russell and Talbot kind of lean in and whisper to each other. And this is, I love this line. He says, a king in front of them and a queen behind them, and all they care about is a human girl. And Talbot smiles and says, men. So anyway, so after Eric confesses about the magister and stuff, as soon as he mentions the magister's name, King Russell is instantly irritated. He stands up and he says, the magister. He's a nasty little anachronistic toad, a ridiculous remnant of the Middle Ages. The only power he has is the power we give him. And then he says, well, there may be a way to solve all our problems. He says, why don't you sleep here tonight, Eric? And so Eric says, well, of course, how can I refuse, you know? So him and Talbot are kind of sipping some drinks, and Bill's looking at him all evil, like, what they gonna do? The next scene, we're back in Alcide's apartment, and Sookie is laying in the bed, and it's daytime now. It's the next morning, and we hear Alcide and Debbie arguing. And Debbie is yelling and screaming that she don't care how loud she gets, you know, she don't care what the neighbors hears, and, excuse me, she's trying to tell Alcide that, you know, she's trying to save his life because, excuse me, if King Russell or any of the other werewolf pack, they find out that he was there and saw what he saw, then they would kill him. So Alcide is, you know, chastising her because she's drinking vampire blood and you know, this and that and the other. And Alcide says, well, you know, yeah, so I saw a vampire giving y'all some blood. And Debbie says, oh, he's much more than that. So that's a little clue that Russell is a little more than just maybe a vampire. So Alcee kind of, you know, as he's talking to Debbie, his eyes kind of go up and over her, and she realizes somebody's standing there. Of course, Sookie has gotten out of the bed, and she's in the hallway. And so Debbie has the nerve to turn around and argue with Sookie, talking about, oh, no, you not in my house fucking my wolf. And I'm thinking, well, dang, you already raccoon her. But anyway,
so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so she's wanting to jump on Sookie, and of course, Sookie is not backing down. She says, you know, you got a lot of nerve, and you done throw over this real nice wolf. You know, Alcee standing there in front of you for some skeezy biker. And, oh, she lets her have it. And so then, with Alcee holding Debbie back, because she's trying to get to her, she says, girl, I'll cut you. Hilarious. And Sookie is not even afraid. She gets close to her, and she says, where's Bill Compton? And she hears her thoughts, and of course, Debbie's saying, who the hell's Bill Compton? So Sookie knows that, okay, she don't know nothing. So, you know. So the next scene, we are back at King Russell's house, and we are in Franklin's bedroom. Oh, poor Tara. He's got Tara tied down to the bed. Her arms are tied to the bedpost, and her feet are tied to the footpost. And he has dressed her in this long white nightgown. It looked like back in the 1800s or something, you know, with ruffles and stuff on it. And so he's asking her, oh, I hope you love the gown. And she says, oh, yeah, I really like it, you know. And then Franklin jumps on top of her, laying on the bed, and presses his cheek to hers. And you know, it's just, you know, oohing and aahing over her. And then the telephone, Tara's telephone that he put in his pocket earlier, it vibrates. So he jumps up and says, oh, yeah, I almost forgot. You had a text message. So he jumps up and he reads a message from Lafayette that says something like, you know, bitch, where you at? And so he says, who is Lafayette? And before Tara can even get out the words, he jumps on her chest and is choking the life out of Tara. And she's trying to tell him, she finally gets it choked out. Lafayette's my cousin, and he's gay. And just like water flowing down a faucet, excuse me, or something, his attitude instantly changes, and he jumps off her and says, oh, okay. Oh, he is freaky. And so he abruptly gets off of her, and he's reading the second message. It's hilarious, and he says, hookah. It says, oh, here's another one from Lafayette. Hookah, where are you at? And Franklin is really amused by the word hooker, and he says, hookah. Isn't that a water pipe or something? Oh, it's funny. And so Tara tells him, okay, look, just tell him I'm okay, and just tell him, trust me, motherfucker. And Franklin seems incredulous. He says, well, of course that's what you'd say, you know. So he tells her, hey, let me show you how fast I can type this word, motherfucker. And he's got like a razor telephone, so it's not like it's like each letter. And he does it in vampire speed. Tara's laying there, all spread eagle on the bed, can't move. And she's trying to be interested, and her eyes look away for a minute. Franklin gets assaulted. He says, look at me. You know, and so she looks back at him and smiles, says, oh, yeah, this is great. So he says, let me delete that and do it again. So he did it again. Oh, he is hilarious. And then he blows her a kiss. Poor Tara.
Crazy ass.
Crazy ass. So the next scene, we are in the sheriff's office. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Deputy Kenya Jones and Deputy Kevin, we now know that his little name is Kevin. Deputy Kenya and Deputy Kevin, they're talking about how much red mulch to use in their yards and stuff. And the little Kevin guy saying, well, I don't know, you know, if I use red mulch, that's kind of risky. You know, it's kind of risque like. And then Jason enters the sheriff's department. He goes right to the tray of donuts and gets a donut and starts eating and says, well, here I am. And they said, what you doing here? And he says, I'm reporting for my first day of duty. And so Kenya said, Acting Sheriff Andy Balfour, would you get out of here? You know, oh, she's hilarious. So when Andy comes out, he's got a newspaper in one hand and a donut in the other, says, hey, or a cup of coffee. And he says, I was just getting ready to go to the bathroom, you know. So they demand to know, what's Jason Stackhouse doing there? And so Andy's trying to tell him, y'all don't never mind. And he sits Jason at this desk. And so, you know, he sends Kevin, Deputy Kevin, out to cross the little school children across the street to go to school. And then he asks Kenya to take some files over to the courthouse. And she looks at him like, you got to be kidding. I'm not no Tota, you know. And then he says, please, Deputy Jones. And she gives him this look. Oh, it is the classic sister girl look. Anyway, and she says, And she picks him up and she goes on. So Andy sits Jason down at this desk and says, you know, their receptionist got female pains that morning, and so Jason needs to answer the phone. And, of course, Jason wants to get out there and catch bad guys, but, you know, he has to do what he got to do. So Jason sits there and answers the phone. The next, we are at one of Sam Merlot's rental houses, and Sam is helping the Mickens move into this house. And this house just happens to be right across the street, front yard to front yard, from Arlene. So, you know, as they're unloading this van, then Tommy is throwing large black garbage bags full of their belongings and stuff. He's throwing it. He's tossing it real hard at Jolie. So Sam's trying to tell him, hey, Tommy, watch out. And you know, Jolie says, oh, that's okay. He's just trying to show me how strong he is, you know. And Jolie's grinning the whole time, oh, nasty thing. And so Tommy keeps throwing these bags and stuff really hard. And so Sam gets a little bit irritated, and he yells at Tommy. He says, hey, watch it. That's your father, man. And Tommy says, I know exactly who he is. And then Melinda comes out, and she says, oh, it's nothing, Sam. It's just a game they ought to play in private. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So she gives Jolie and Tommy this dirty look, but Tommy keeps on tossing that stuff. And so Jolie says to Tommy, he'll make it up to me, won't you, boy? Ew! I don't like that Jolie. But anyway, so when Sam says that they need to talk it out, then Melinda tells Jolie and Tommy that they should both listen to Sam because he's got all the good ideas. But she's looking all shifty, though. You know? She's looking real shifty. Anyway, so as Sam is just about to go back and, like, you know, pick up something else, then Terry Balfour pulls up in front of Arlene's house in his truck, and he's got some of his belongings in the back of the truck. So Sam walks over to Terry, and you know, Terry seems all happy and stuff, and Sam says, are you doing what I think you're doing? He said, yep, I'm moving in with Arlene, you know. Oh, it's really cute. And so Sam congratulates Terry and tells him, you know, he deserves to be happy. And about that time, Arlene comes outside on the porch, and she tells Terry, okay, look, I haven't cleaned nothing. I haven't cleared nothing out. Terry just smiles and says, I'm the luckiest man in the world. So as Terry goes into the house and takes a box into the house, then Sam congratulates Arlene. Arlene is hilarious. She has her little robe on, and she says, she never thought that this would happen to her. She says, I never thought this would happen to me again and again and again and that other time too. But especially now. Now I count 4 or 5 times. Oh, it was hilarious. So Sam just kind of smiles. And then he offers for Jolie to be his on-site handyman for his tenants and his properties. And Arlene says, ooh, that'd be great because I got a long list of things that need fixing. So she runs into the house to get her list. And so Jolie says, well, if it don't hurt my back. Melinda says, oh, he'd love to, Sam. And then she sucks her front tooth and looks at him like, you better do it. You know, oh, it was something. So Sam tells Tommy to come on because it's time to go to work. So I figure it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. And as Sam and Tommy are getting in the truck, Jolie is standing there just grinning at him. Just this grin. And he's saying, have a great day, Sam. And Sam's getting this uneasy feeling, and he's just looking at Jolie like, what the hell? You know, but he goes on, gets in the truck, and they go on to work. Now, back at King Russell's house, it's daytime there, too. And, of course, Franklin is asleep in his bed because everybody's, you know, go to ground only at the King's Mansion. They're in their little bedrooms. Poor Tara. We see Tara, she is feverishly biting these ropes that are on her wrist. And you can hear her teeth clicking together as she's biting them ropes. And she looks wild-eyed. She just looks crazy. You know? Poor thing. Then we're back at Alcide's house, and Sookie is sitting on the floor removing these black fingernails that Janice had put on her, you know, to look like the biker wolf chick, you know, to go to Lupine's the night before. And she is listening into Alcide's thoughts, and she hears him say that he's got to go see the Packmaster because he's got to tell him what they saw and everything. So when Alcide comes out of the room, he says, okay, I got to go run some errands. I'll be right back. So Sookie says, what's a Packmaster? And Alcide gets real mad. He says, God damn it. You know, she says, hey, look, I got to do what I got to do. Now, either you could tell me and make it easier, or, you know, I have to dig it out of your head, but I really don't want to have to do that. So he tells her that, you know, he's going to see the Packmaster because he's got to, you know, find out what to do. He says, you know, we're in a pack. I mean, he said, y'all, you saw what wolves do, but we have a leader and we follow what he says. So Sookie says, well, I'm going with you. And he says, no, he says, I get in even more trouble. And she says, look, you're going to have to just deal with it because I'm going. So he finally acquiesces and says, okay. Next, we're back at the sheriff's office, and Kenya has come back from taking the files to the courthouse, and Kevin has finished, you know, helping the little kids get across the street to go to school. And so they come back in, and Jason has taken two calls, service calls. And so Kenya takes one of the calls, and Kevin takes the other. So Jason said, what about me? And they're saying, well, yeah, there you go. And so Kenya gives Jason a file and say, here, file this. Thank you. And Jason is just a fool. He just throws that file up against the wall, and he goes to sit in a police chair, and of course he falls all the way to the floor. And then, you know, we see a long scene of Jason being bored. He's building a paperclip train, you know, this big long chain. He's draping it all over the furniture. He's draping it up on the cabinets and playing limbo with it. And then we see him playing with the ink, with the fingerprint kit. And he's got ink all on his lip and his shirt. It is hilarious. So when Andy comes into the office, Jason is ready to explode. He says, look, I need a special assignment, a cold case, or something, because I'm going to explode just like an M80. And so Andy looks at him and says, don't worry. I give you just what you need. So I'm thinking, uh-oh, what is that going to be? The next scene, we're back at King Russell's mansion, and it's still daytime, and Tara has gotten loose from that her bonds, and she is sneaking down the spiral staircase in that long white gown, and she eases out the front door, and she runs right up the middle of these vast lawns, just like a runaway slave, you know, and as she passes some bushes, she hears a wolf howl. Uh-oh, she turns around and she sees a big gray wolf running toward her. And so Tara hikes up that dress and she is booking. She is running fast. It is amazing. But that wolf is faster, of course. So he jumps on Tara's back and knocks her to the ground. And as soon as Tara gets to the ground, the wolf, of course, instantly changes to Cooter. And he lets out this big old howl. And poor Tara, she is just crazed. She is just so afraid, like, what? You know. Anyway, okay. Next scene, we're at Merlot's. And Lafayette, this is a really good scene. Lafayette and Tommy are standing outside the back of Merlot smoking cigars or cigarellos. And Lafayette is trying to teach Tommy how to smoke them. And he's naming off the different kinds that he likes. Well, Jesus, you know, the nurse that takes care of his mother, Jesus walks up to them and he says hi to Lafayette. And Lafayette immediately looks concerned and he asks Tommy to go inside. Then he walks over to Jesus and asks him, okay, how does she die? And of course, Jesus, he seems really, really embarrassed that he should have known that Lafayette, of course, would think that, oh, he had bad news because, you know, he takes care of his mother. He says, oh, no, your mother's just fine. She threw her oatmeal at me just the other morning. So Lafayette said, well, yeah, that is her way, you know. And so when Jesus tells Lafayette that he came there just to see him, then Lafayette puffs all up and tries to get all gangsta and, you know, says, okay, somebody been mentioning my name in a conversation because, you know, if they did, you better just forget about it or you know, there'll be some consequences. And so Jesus kind of looks at Lafayette like, oh, you trying to scare me or something? And he says, but he never backs away or anything. And he says, no, it's my day off and I thought you might want to go to a movie or something. Lafayette's face instantly softens and he seems to be blushing to think that Jesus wants to take him out on a date. So when Jesus says that, you know, okay, man, I'm sorry, you know, this is probably a bad idea, and he gets ready to turn around and go back to his car, Lafayette says, oh, no, that's okay. I mean, I would go with you, but I got to work. So Jesus says, well, how long you got to work? He says, well, till 11 o'clock. And so Jesus says, well, I'll wait. It's my day off. I got nothing else to do. It's only 9 hours. So Lafayette seems pleased and surprised. And he said, oh, okay. So they both go inside. And it's really cute because Jesus opens the door and says, after you. And Lafayette is just looking like really surprised. He said, oh, Lordy. And he goes on in, you know, to do his little cooking thing. Okay, the next scene, we are along the side of the road, out in the woods somewhere, where Alcide and Sookie are meeting with the packmaster, Colonel Flood. And they're meeting on a dirt road out in the woods. And Alcide is telling Colonel Flood about the werewolves and about how they were drinking the vampire blood right from the source. And Colonel Flood tells Alcide that, you know, he will be disciplined for exposing them to humans. And, you know, Alcide says, yeah, okay, you know, I take my punishment, I know that. But Sookie walks up, you know, right next to Alcide and speaks up and says, well, you know, we only wanted to tell you what we saw. And the colonel says, I already know all about it. And there's not a daggum thing we can do about it. Because it's Russell Eddington, and he's the king of Mississippi. And that seems to click a little light bulb in Sookie's head. Because up until that time, neither she nor Alcide knew that Russell was the king of Mississippi. And he says, you know, King Russell has been around for centuries all over the world, and there's nothing they can do. When he came into their area, he said the thing to do is to lay low, let them do whatever they're going to do, and hopefully they'll leave and, you know, leave us alone. And Alcide is just appalled. He says, no, we got to do something. And Sookie hears Colonel Flood's thoughts and knows that he's afraid, and he thinks that no one can help them deal with King Russell and all those that wolf pack. So, you know, Colonel Flood gets into the car and he tells Alcide, obey. You know, just like, you know, because I'm your pack dog. Yeah, just like a dog, you know. And Sookie tells Alcide, you know, he can't help you because he's afraid. And so Alcide says, you know, I trust you. I know you telling the truth. So they just watch Colonel Flood drive away. Now we're back at the sheriff's office, and we see that Jason is outside the sheriff's office with his shirt off, washing a patrol car. So that's the big job that Andy had Jason do. And as he's complaining about, you know, having to wash the car, he sees Crystal drive by in a truck. You know, Crystal was the girl out in Hot Shot. And Jason stares at her, and she stares back, kind of smiling. So Jason jumps into the patrol car, and he chases her with his lights and sirens on. So once Crystal pulls over, and Jason walks up to her, and, you know, he's asking for her driver's license and insurance and stuff, and she refuses to give it to him because she says, because you're not a real cop. So Jason starts flirting with her a little bit, and he asks her, you know, how come the first time I ever saw you, you were crying? And she says, no, I wasn't. I never cry, you know. And so Jason introduces himself and asks what her name is, and she finally tells him her name is Crystal. And she says, well, you know, I got mayonnaise and eggs in the back, so I got to go. And since you a fake cop, then, you know, she starts her little car and she's getting ready to go. So Jason asks her to meet him at Merlot's in like an hour. And she says, I can't do that. And he says, well, but I'll be there. So, you know, he's going to wait for her. Now we're in the evening time and we're at Merlot's. And we see Sam is pouring a beer for Arlene to serve. And over in the background, we see Jesus is at the bar drinking a beer. And he's kind of talking to the people there. And he's watching Lafayette cooking and taking the order sheets off that little wheel thing that they stick them up on. And then we see Jessica. She's so cute. Jessica's asking Tommy how his first night has been. And Tommy says it's okay because he'd much rather, you know, carry around some dishes than to work in that garage, you know. And so Jessica stops Arlene and says, oh, it's looking real busy tonight. And Arlene is standing sideways. She never, ever looks at her. And she says, yes, it is busy when there's only one waitress, you know. So Jessica says, Arlene, how come you never look me in the eye? And Arlene says, because I do not care to be hypnotized, which is apparently what you Walking Dead people can do. Oh, poor little Jessica. So Jessica turns around and has to greet this couple that's coming in, a man and woman
Jessica,
coming in.
Because that's all Jessica be doing.
I know it.
Arlene ain't stupid.
I know. And so Jessica greets the couple and everything, and she tells them, I have a real romantic table for you right over there. And then she looks at them and glamours them and says, you will not tip your waitress. Remember, do not tip your waitress. Oh, it was hilarious.
Tip your waitress.
So Hoyt comes into Merlot's with this short little blonde girl. She's like a little chatty Cathy, just a talking. And they sit in a booth, and Hoyt makes sure that he positions himself in the booth so he can watch Jessica on the sly, see? And when Tommy sees Jessica kind of sulking a little bit, he asks her, well, what's wrong? And Jessica says, my ex. And she kind of nods over to Hoyt. And Tommy laughs, and he says, that big guy, he looks like he got bombed by radiation on his way to middle school. And so she says, well, he is kind of nice when you get to know him. And he says, that's a giant sixth grade boy right there. Oh, it's really good. So anyway, so Sam interrupts Tommy to tell him that he has a phone call from Jolie. So when Tommy answers the phone, we can hear Jolie in the background telling Tommy he better get home right now. Tommy says, no, I got a job now. I'm working. And he hands the phone back to Sam and walks on away. So Sam just hangs up the phone. He didn't answer anymore. The next scene, we are back at King Russell's mansion. And Tara is sitting on the edge of the bed in Franklin's bedroom with her hands still bound. She is visibly shaking. She is just shaking like a leaf. Franklin is crying in blood tears. He is very distraught because Tara tried to run away. And Franklin just keeps saying, why? And Tara says, well, it's because I'm afraid. And Franklin says, of me? That's insane. And he continues crying. Well, and she says, but you tie me up. And he says, but that's to keep you safe. And he's just crying and says he feels like he's been staked. Well, Tara, you can see it on her face. She begins to understand his obsession with her and that he's truly hurt. So she kind of softens and says, well, you know, she apologizes to him for trying to run away. She says, but I'm afraid of the other vampires. And you know, the look on her face, you could tell she was lying, but, you know, she was trying to, you know, comfort him. And so Franklin kind of stops crying a little bit, and he walks closer to Tara, and he tells her, you know, I will never let them touch you. But you could see it in his eyes. He would kill all them first, you know? Woo, he's freaky. So Franklin sits down on the bed next to Tara, and he hugs her, and he starts kissing her little head, and he says, there's only you. They don't exist. There's only you. And Tara, this woman, you know, Rutina Wesley, the actress who plays Tara, she needs an award because the look on her face, she looked angry and terrified all at the same time. It was wonderful. She's a good acting. Okay, now while that's going on upstairs, King Russell is in the study with Bill Compton. Mm-hmm. And he's reading from the file that Bill kept on Sookie and asking Bill, how come he circled certain names on this little genealogy thing? And of course, Bill is trying to play it off like, I never seen that file. And, you know, the king said, well, Franklin got it out of your house, you know. Yeah, and Bill denies everything. He says he don't know anything about the file. He don't know anything. And so King Russell is trying to tell him, you know, I think that you got something, or you're trying to figure out what mental disability this family has for some big payoff at the end. And so Bill's trying to tell him, look, I don't even know where he got that file. I mean, it's his word against mine. And King Russell says, yeah, but I trust Franklin because he's been with me a long time. So, you know, King Russell tells Bill that he thinks there's a reason both Earl Stackhouse, which is Sookie's grandfather, and Sookie, their names are circled on the family tree because telepathy runs in their family. And he's trying to figure out, what does Sophie Ann want with that information? So Bill says, that's a beautiful theory made up of air and imagination, but it has nothing to do with me. And King Russell just smiles and says, oh, Bill, you know. And then Cooter comes in and kind of interrupts him and says, I have to speak with you now. So Russell summons a guard to escort Bill back to his room. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't free to just roam around the house, see? Okay, we're back at Merlot's in the next scene. And Jason is sitting in a booth waiting for Crystal, but of course she doesn't show up. So Andy comes in and tells Jason that he pulled some strings, and he says they will waive everything for you to be a police officer, a real deputy, except for the physical, and you got to take a written test. And Jason says, you know I can't take no written test. And Andy says, yeah, you can do it. All you got to do is shove all that stuff in your head, write some answers, then forget it all the next day and learn on the job like everybody else. So Jason is really not having it. So Andy says, are you meeting a new girlfriend here? And Jason says, I was, but I guess she's not coming. So he gets up to go leave. Then as Jason's leaving, then we see Lafayette and Jesus, and they're getting ready to play a game of pool. So evidently it's after 11 o'clock because Lafayette is off work. And they're making a little small talk and kind of flirting with each other. And Jesus said that he enjoyed watching Lafayette for 9 hours do your thing. And Lafayette says, oh, no, that is not my thing. That just pays the bills. So he does that little dip that he does, Oh, that's so cute. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so Jesus asked Lafayette if he looked at him. And Lafayette said, first he says, all that grease running around the kitchen, flying around the kitchen, I don't have time to be looking at people. But he did admit that, yeah, I saw you a couple times, you know. So Jesus asked Lafayette if he's going to play, meaning the pool game. And so, you know, Lafayette says something. He says, well, I'll play. And I'll break, you know. So that I thought that was cute. He said, because I don't want you coming in here running the table, making me look bad. And Jesus says, I don't think anything could ever make you look bad. And Lafayette is saying, listen to you talking all that bullshit to me. Oh, it was so cute. It was just cute little flirting back and forth, you know. So they go on to play their little game of pool. Now, Sam, in the meantime, he is walking from the bar back to his office. When Tommy asked him if he can stay the night with him. And Sam, you know, kind of absent-mindedly, he just says, well, why? How come? And Tommy says, you know, brother time. He says, oh, yeah, sure. But you got to tell your parents, folks. Your parents first. And Tommy says, I will. I promise, you know. So Sam says, you're lying. I know you're lying. He says, look, you are trying to put me someplace I don't want to be, which is right in the middle of the Mickens. I don't want to be there. So Tommy... He asked Tommy, what does Joe Lee want from him? And Tommy says, nothing. And so Sam says, you know, yeah, well, okay. You just make sure that you tell them that you're going to spend the night with me. And so Tommy promises to do that. The next scene, we're back at King Russell's mansion. Bill is in his room looking very, very pensive. Very, very deep in thought. And a little angry, too. When Cooter just busts through the door. And as soon as Cooter opens them door... Bill in Vampire Speed has jumped off the bed, and he's right in front of Cooter. And Cooter tells Bill that he is now on King Russell's shit list, and that his little bon-ton ho is right there in Jackson, effing a werewolf. And Bill grabs him by the neck so fast that even with the vampire blood, Cooter don't know what hit him. And he says, where's Sookie? Oh, it was great. So they fight. Bill is kicking his but, you know, all the big bad talk that Cooter does, he is kicking him, wearing him out. So next time we see them, which is a few seconds later, Cooter is laid out on the bed, all this beat up, broke up furniture, and the security guard has heard some bumping in there. So the security guard rushes into the room. Bill grabs him from the back and pushes his whole face and body into that silver door. And of course, that vampire guard is screaming and stuff because it's hurting. So, and then Bill runs out the room. Now, back at Merlot's, Jason is leaving the bar and he's walking to his car and he sees Crystal walking away from him. So he calls her. And of course, she says, you know, I was going to go inside, but I just couldn't go inside. So she says, you know, I shouldn't be here. I got to go. And Jason says, well, why don't you just walk with me a little bit? So he takes her by the hand and they walk on off into the woods. This was a throwaway scene in my opinion, but anyway. So they hold hands and they walk into the woods. And it looks like that same little dock area, kind of like that little pond area where he was with Daphne. He kisses Crystal and they make some little small talk. And then he says that she's an outdoor girl and seems to be happiest in the woods. And so is he. And Jason says he doesn't mind that there are things that she cannot explain to him, because she keeps saying, you know, I can't explain, but, you know, we really shouldn't be together, but I can't explain. And Crystal says, you know, that there is no forever for them. There's only today. And she tells him that, you know, she just wants to make sure that she has an experience now that she can look back on. So they start kissing passionately and are probably going to lead to sex. Who knows? Back at King Russell's mansion, Eric comes walking into the foyer near the spiral staircase. He's wearing this tight blue sweater. He is looking too good in this blue sweater as King Russell is coming down the stairs. And King Russell asks Eric to accept his apologies, but that he has to attend to something. So Eric says, well, maybe I can help you. But the king refuses Eric's help and says, no, why don't you indulge my boy Talbot here for a minute? Let him give you the full tour. It makes him positively blithe, which means real happy. And so when Eric says that, you know, I have a child of my own that needs attending, the King Russell cuts him off and says, all in good time. And it's real interesting. And Eric looks at him and smiles and he steps aside, you know, kind of ducks his head a little bit, you know, showing deference to the king. So King Russell struts on out. So Eric's, after Eric walks a short way into the room, to this room right off the foyer, and he notices Lorena coming down the staircase. And Lorena looks at Eric and says, you. And Eric looks up at her and says, you. And Talbot enters and ushers Eric along with him. And so Talbot looks back at Lorena and says, boys only. And him and Eric go on off for the tour. And Eric is you know, a lot taller than Talbot. So he's looking down, smiling at Talbot, saying, show me everything. Oh, Talbot is just in seventh heaven. The next scene, we're at Sam Merlot's trailer. And Sam and Tommy, they're sitting on the couch and they're drinking beer and they're watching TV when someone starts banging on the door, yelling and a fussing. So Sam gets up, but Tommy tells him, don't answer it. Well, Sam goes to the door and opens the door, and it's a drunk Joe Lee. And he's yelling, give me back my boy. Give me back my boy. He tells Tommy that he's going to beat him blind. And Sam is restraining Jolie and telling him, no, you're not going to do nothing. And Jolie is trying to get to Tommy, but he's not fighting with Sam, though. He's just trying to get over to Tommy. And Sam keeps telling him to go home. But Jolie says, I ain't leaving without my son. And Sam tells him, but, you know, Tommy's not going anywhere with you. And so Jolie yells that he owns Tommy head to tail. That's what he says. I own him head to tail. Sam grabs Joe Lee, throws him up against a table, and he says, you broke down bastard. And he tells him, you don't own shit. You're living in my rental house. He says, you better leave or I'll throw your ass out in the parking lot. And he says, I'd love to do it. Just try me. I'd love to do it. So then all of a sudden, Joe Lee kind of sobers up a little bit because, see, somebody's fighting back. And so Joe Lee apologizes and says, you know, I'm just liquored up. And he points to Tommy and he says, you have to learn some responsibility. Oh, he is sickening. So then he says, okay, everything will be better in the morning. And he leaves. Sam is pissed. He shuts that door and then he rushes all up into Tommy's face and says, what the hell was that? And Tommy looks real scared to me. He's looking kind of scared. Next scene, we're back at King Russell's mansion. Tara is sitting at the formal dining room table. She's staring down on the plate of yellow lilies, and she's crying. She's just crying softly. There's a servant guy standing over in the corner by the doorway. You know, he probably served her, but he's mute. He's not saying a word. Franklin comes strolling in, and he asks her, what's the matter? And he says, who made you cry? I'll kill him. And Tara says, nobody. She says, it's just that, you know, I'm hungry. And they bought me these daylilies, and I can't eat them. And Franklin gets so mad, he picks up that plate, and he throws the plate at that servant, and he tells him, get out of here and tell Talbot she doesn't want his effing flowers. And don't come back, because she wants to be with me. Whoo, he's obsessive. So Tara is shocked, but she composes herself, though, because she's seeing how obsessed he is. And she's saying, look, Franklin, we need to talk. And he said, oh, don't tell me that. When women say that, everything goes black, and I wake up surrounded by body parts. And she says, oh, no, it's not that at all. She says, look, I'm really into you. And he starts blushing. He said, oh, Tara, you know, he just blushes. She says, but if we're going to be together, you got to remember a few things. First of all, that I'm alive and I got needs, which is food. And so Franklin feels real bad. He says he's ashamed that he didn't, you know, think of that. And to make it up to her, he's going to take her out to a special dinner in Vicksburg, a Shoney's in Vicksburg. And she kind of goes, oh, okay, that'd be great. And he says, because we're going to celebrate your last night of being a human. You could tell in Tara's face, she's saying, what? But she keeps her composure, and he says, he gets down on one knee, and he takes her hand, and he asks Tara to be his vampire bride. And as he's kissing her hand, she is looking wild-eyed and in shock. She is just looking wild, you know, like, ooh, what can I do? Meanwhile, in the mansion, Talbot is showing Eric all the treasures that King Russell has acquired. And they are talking about a scroll of Japanese vampire erotica from the 16th century. And they're kind of flirting back and forth. And Talbot tells Eric that Russell is a greedy little boy. He wants what he wants and he takes it. He's the same way about people. So watch out. And Eric just kind of smiles. And so Talbot opens the door to this closed shelf that contains these really special items. And Eric fixes his eyes on this gold crown. And and Talbot tells him, oh, yes, Russell has lots of those crowns. This is from some tribal crown that Russell got. And Eric says to Talbot, no, it's Viking. And then we immediately flash back to when Eric was a teenager, probably an older teenager, about 16 or so. And his father is wearing that very same crown. And his father is telling Eric that he needs to start learning how to be king instead of messing around with all the maids and girls and stuff all the time. And Eric tells him, I've got enough time to learn how to be king. And he leaves and goes out to the barn to have sex with the maid. And suddenly, as he's doing that, he hears his mother screaming. And he rushes back to see that his mother and his little baby sister are dead. And a wolf is attacking his father. And Eric stabs a wolf who is getting ready to jump behind him, you know, jump on his back. And as he stabbed the wolf, of course, the wolf immediately changes back to a man. And we see that strange Operation Werewolf tattoo on the man. Then a robed figure is standing outside of their house. And he is commanding a wolf to bring him the crown. And it sounds like he's speaking in German. And so when Eric sees this, of course, the wolf obeys. He goes and gets the crown from where the king had dropped it and is giving it to the robed figure. And Eric grabs his sword and he advances toward the door. And the robed figure tells him, do not be a hero, Viking. And he swishes his black robe around and just walks off. And Eric is just, it's like he's mesmerized. You know, he just stands there. So then he rushes over to his dying father. And his father tells him in their, you know, Gaelic language, I guess, to seek vengeance. And Eric promises that he is going to be seeking some vengeance. So Eric, then right after that scene, we're back in the present time, and Eric is back in the mansion, and he's still staring down at this crown, and he's saying, it's beautiful. And while he's staring at the crown saying it's beautiful, Talbot is staring at Eric, and he says, quite. You know, but he's talking about Eric, see? Okay, this is the last scene of the episode. We're in Alcide's apartment, and Sookie is laying in bed attempting to sleep when she hears Alcide calling her name. She gets up and goes into their living room, and at first Alcide is kind of blocking her view because he's a big, tall guy, but he moves a little bit, and she sees Bill standing there. So she runs to Bill, and they embrace. Bill tells her that she has to leave Jackson immediately, and he asks Alcide, take her away immediately. And Sookie demands to know why, and that you're coming with us. And Bill says, you know, I can't. There's no time to explain. There's no hope for me. But you have got to go immediately. And Sookie demands to know, what am I running from? Right at that moment, Cooter busts through the door, and he invites the other vampires to come in. And the security guard that Bill had pushed into that silver door, he is on Bill, just lickety-split, and is holding Bill up against the wall. Cooter is kicked Alcide in the balls, and Alcide's doubled over on the floor. And then King Russell's saying, get the girl. So Cooter is trying to get Sookie and everything. And, excuse me, and Cooter's kind of growling and stuff, and he's telling her, you know, kind of playing with her and stuff, and he goes to grab Sookie, and Sookie's telling him, no, and she's kind of on her knees, and they're kind of struggling, and Sookie holds out her hand, and that white light zaps Cooter all the way across the room. King Russell looks pleased, and he's laughing, and he says, fantastic, and that's the end of the episode.
Woo, Sister J.
Oh, well, hey, everybody knows I do a long recap because I like it.
That was too anyway, long. That was a good episode.
But there was so much information in that episode. There was so much information in there. So, what'd you think?
I really liked this episode. It gave us, first of all, we got to see how crazy as shit Franklin was.
Oh, Franklin is obsessed.
We kind of knew he was off.
Yes.
But this showed how truly off he was.
He is just, you know, this is what I really think about Franklin. He is so obsessed with her because he was so lonely. Because he had told her he'd been lonely for a long time. A long time. And he is just obsessed with her.
Not just that. The king, when they're talking, mm-hmm. he mentions, well, what about, you know, don't you remember the other girl that you dragged around with mm-hmm. you? How it ended badly? Mm-hmm. And the last time you got a little bit of money?
Oh, that was funny.
You know, you ended up with a bunch of dead old ladies at the casino.
He said, 'cause they wouldn't let me play. They wouldn't let me have a turn.
So, I mean, that just illustrates how crazy
he is. He is mentally unstable, and he was probably that way before he was turned.
Right.
See? And so, therefore, he's still that way.
Right.
I bet he was like back in his day, like Jack the Ripper or something. You know what I mean?
I don't know about that, but he was crazy. He's crazy. And then that crying scene.
Oh, that was pitiful. I felt sorry for him, though. He was really upset.
No. That was funny.
Oh, I felt sorry for him. He says, I feel like I've been staked. Oh, it was funny. It was hilarious.
He was just like, ooh. I mean, you're right. Tina Wesley's face.
Oh, her
face. Whole episode, she would try to play it off like she was happy to see him. And then as soon as he looked away, she had this crazy look like,
this look. Oh, she needs to win an award, though. But so many of them need to win an award. And I'm so disappointed that they were snubbed by the Emmys.
I think she's up for something.
They were snubbed by the Emmys.
Coming up.
Okay.
I think she was.
But it's not an Emmy award.
Well, I can't remember now.
But anyway,
I'll look it up.
Her facial expressions. But oh, my favorite scene of Tara in this episode is when she hiked up that dress to run from that wolf. Oh man, that was hilarious to me because that's what you do. She hiked up that dress. She was booking. She was running. She was serious. Oh, it was good. I love that. And then when she was, as soon as they was going to sleep, when she was biting the ropes. Oh, she looked crazed. I mean, she looked even more crazed.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying. Oh.
It was good.
It was just great scenes for her, though.
Very good.
Okay. Now, I do have a complaint, though, about this episode and actually about this season. And that is, if I was the actor playing Jason, I'd be kind of ticked. He is just, in my opinion, a total throwaway this season. I'm tired of seeing Jason in the comic role doing stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's really, we saw from last season too, even though he gets things backwards and stuff, but I mean, you know, with the Fellowship of the Sun and stuff, I mean, he can come through in a pinch, you know,
right.
And he knows what to do. But this season, they have him just totally stupid bumbling, and I don't like it. I don't like it. So, you know, he needs better
scenes. Well, the first
scenes.
Couple of episodes, I was fine with his character, but now, I mean, they're just the way that they're having him go into the police. I mean, that was kind of a cool transition to have him go through that.
Yeah.
But they should have had him go through it the normal way. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Or had him already be like a deputy on the side or he would help out on the, you know, like a
or
volunteer.
Something. But they're making him too dumb.
Yeah.
You know, and they're always pointing up the dumb, naive aspect. And then that whole, Anyway, but, you know, poor Jason, that's all I got to say. You know, poor Jason. They need better stuff for him to do.
Well, I mean, he didn't, in the first season, all he did was chase women. And,
well, that's
true. You know,
he
was a central part of the plot, but, I mean, he can't do that all the time.
Well, that's true.
So
that is true.
I guess they're just trying to fill in where he's going to be.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
But, man, I really like King Russell, though. Because he is ruthless, but he's
different with it.
Different with it, I guess. I was going to say
a nice ruthless.
Well, I don't think he's too nice, but because he is so old, you know, he's probably seen everything. So he's more patient, I think, maybe with it. You know,
or he's trying to enjoy.
Yeah.
Everything.
I don't know, but I love King Russell though. And it doesn't bother me that, you know, yeah, he kills up people and stuff, you know. But yeah, I really like that.
Well, I really like Talbot in this episode.
Oh, he was hilarious.
And Eric. When Eric got there.
Oh yeah.
Talbot was like, ooh.
But I even liked his interaction with Franklin though. Because you could tell he didn't
like
him. He did
Franklin.
Not like him. So that's the only reason he was messing around and like smelling and stuff Tara, because he knew that that would irritate Franklin. Mm-hmm. And Franklin posing her like a mannequin.
Well, she is to him.
Well, you know, but still, ooh, that's just awful. And then, I forgot this part. Once he like was posing Tara and stuff, and Franklin said something smarty, and Tara looked at Talbot and said, "I'm sorry," or something like that, and he said, "Good girl." That was funny. And that's when Franklin said, "Oh, you don't need to say I'm sorry to him. He's just a cleaning lady," and that's what made him mad.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that Talbot doesn't like anybody who comes there and takes the king's attention away.
Absolutely.
You know, he is tolerating Bill because he knows that this is their way to get more power and more stuff. They have to have Bill to blackmail the queen and all this stuff. But he doesn't like, I don't think, when he bring, like, he doesn't like it when other people come around unless he can have something to do with them too.
Yeah.
I think. So that's why I think when Franklin came, he doesn't really deal with Franklin. He don't like Franklin because he knows Franklin's crazy.
Well, but also he knew it was work. He knows that he works for King Russell.
And he doesn't really like Cooter either.
No, he does not.
I think
not.
He tries to keep that separation between the help and their peers.
Mm-hmm.
But when Eric came over, he was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Just fine.
But that's because Eric looks so different
smooth.
Than all the rest of them.
Yep.
First of all, he's taller than all of them. He's blonde.
Drink of water.
But he's Scandinavian. He's blonde, got them blue eyes, and he had that blue sweater on. He looked too good.
He did look good.
He looked really, really good. And it was just, you know, the actor playing Talbot, he did perfect. Because you could just see it in his eyes. He was just instantly smitten, like, ooh,
yeah,
who is this? And then you know how Eric does. He's giving all kind of hints that, well, yeah, I might go that way, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is hilarious. And I have a feeling Eric would be with either one of them to get information or to get what he wants, because he now knows that King Russell is that leader or that little robed figure that commanded those wolves to kill his family.
Right.
And he now knows, so he's going to have to figure out how you're going to deal with that. How you going to get vengeance on somebody that's twice as old as you?
True.
See?
True that.
Yeah. See?
Well.
And then I wonder too, now I do know that Talbot has been, we do know that Talbot has been with King Russell since 1387 because that's when they got that rug. So does that make him older than Eric? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he is older.
He's older than Eric. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's older than Eric.
I think both Russell and Talbot are older than Eric.
Okay.
Because, gosh, now I can't remember how old Eric was supposed to be.
Eric's 1,000 years.
Well, maybe they're not.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying, because Talbot said
that... Well, okay, so at least Talbot probably isn't as old as Eric, right. but the king is. Probably right. is. Because we the don't
king,
know yet.
Well, yeah, you do, because the king was already whatever he is other than a vampire at the time that he killed Eric's family. Eric was still human.
Yeah.
And Eric, you could tell, Eric was probably 16, because in those days, I'm sure they expected a boy of like 16 to get married yeah. and start being, you know, king and all that. Maybe 15.
He was supposed to be a teenager, but he didn't, of course.
Right, of
course. He couldn't look like a teenager, but.
And so Eric spent years doing that Viking warrior thing. And when
Godrick turned him.
Right, before Godrick turned him, see, so. Because Godrick turned Eric when Eric was probably about 35, because that's the way he looks now. See, he looks about 35 now, so. That's a span in between, and he was probably looking for the food then, looking for King Russell then.
So what I want to know is, you know, if Eric brings it up that he was interested in the crown, he tells Talbot that it was a Viking mm-hmm. crown from the Viking era, doesn't he think Talbot will repeat that to the king?
No.
That's what I think.
No, and I'll tell you why. And that's because, you know, Talbot's been all over the world with Russell for centuries also. He can look at Eric and see that he's Nordic, you know? And so, of course, he's going to know about Viking culture. He comes right out of that whole area. You see what I'm saying? So, to me, no. Because while Eric was looking at the crown and fascinated with it, Talbot was looking at Eric. So, he probably wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying? Because he was staring at Eric, see? So, anyway.
Well, one other thing is I liked the scenes with the Mickens.
Yes.
This time.
Ooh,
Sam.
Man, they are some
I like how they're having Sam be more tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
And I think it's a really... We mentioned this last week, too. A really good contrast because he shifted that little collie dog. Which is so nice.
Well, but you know, in the previous season, Sam hasn't ever been this tough and assertive and...
No, he hasn't.
Confrontational. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to see that mm-hmm. in his character. So it's kind of good to see this other side where mm-hmm. he's not going to take no shit. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't like something, he's going to speak up.
And this is the way I see that. I see that as a combination of he's angry and disappointed.
Yeah.
That they are not... what he thought, and he's probably real sorry that he went looking for the Azes, and he's probably thinking, shit, you know,
no, I got stuck with them.
Miss Merlot done told me, you don't want to find them people, because they are bad people, remember?
Yep.
His adopted mama told him that.
Yep.
But his adopted daddy wrote that Mickens down on a piece of paper, and he went looking for him.
Yep.
And so I see his reaction, especially to Jolie, as disappointment and a little bit anger at himself because, damn, shit, I could have just, you know, left these fools alone.
Yeah.
Now he's, anyway. So, you know, but, yeah, I really like what they're doing with Sam and the whole Mickens story. I really like that.
And I like how he's trying to take Tommy under his wing and get him on a different path.
Yes.
And give him a little job.
And Tommy likes it, too. And you can tell that he's looking up to Sam more and more as a person who can maybe help him also.
And he really, I think, likes the fact that Sam stood up to Jolie.
Oh, absolutely. You can see it. Ooh, yeah. You see his face? And that's why when Sam ran up on him and said, what the hell was that? He looked scared to me.
A little bit. And then mm-hmm. he kind of was like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
He ain't going to do nothing. Yeah.
You know. But, and of course, you know. We have to talk about Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Oh, man. Lafayette is just so cute. He's just my all-time favorite.
So cute.
Oh, Nelson Ellis is just so good. And that whole scene, it was just excellent.
With Jesus,
yeah. That was just excellent, you know, when they first met. Because, and Jesus, I mean, the actor playing him, he was just perfect, I thought. Because when he said, oh, yeah, you know, I should have thought, of course you would think maybe something bad happened to your mom, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that would make sense, too. Because, you know, because remember last week we talked about, hey, they better not be killing off Alfred Wood.
No, they're not going to do that after
one.
A two-minute scene. No way. And I really like the scene that they put in there with Tommy and Jessica talking at work.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's so much as a romance type thing, mm-mm, but just the fact that coworkers are bored.
Yep.
Work, you know, talking. And I like seeing that, mm-hmm, in this episode.
I thought it was really, really nice, too, because he was trying to tell her, why would you be with that overgrown boy over there.
Yeah, and I don't think you... Did you talk about that in your recap?
Yeah, I did.
He had
some hilarious lines. He said he looked like a... about a sixth grader. Oh, it was hilarious. Wait a minute. I did write it down.
But I really did like that scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they keep having them, Jessica and Hoyt, go back and forth with... They want each other, but they don't want to... Well, at least Jessica, she thinks she's not good enough for Hoyt.
Yeah.
And Hoyt tried to go out of his way to talk to her, and then vice versa. But, you know, I kind of like how they're doing it to where they're not just going to be together easily like that.
Well, that's true, too. But Tommy tells her, he looks at him and says, that guy, he says, that's a giant sixth grade boy right there. Oh, I was dying. And he was trying to tell her, and you're a smoking hot vampire? No, you could do better than that. And she's blushing, which I thought was really cute, too, you know,
yeah,
when he said that. So he is learning. It seems to me, though, that we are witnessing the education, if you will, or the blossoming, if you will, of Tommy, too. Because it seems to me that he is gaining more social skills, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to but talk to people. And, like, when we see him out in the back with Lafayette, and Lafayette's trying to teach him how to smoke
and
stuff.
Well, we're just seeing more of him because
yeah,
he's there.
Yeah.
You know, we just hadn't seen him before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like that scene. And then I like the scene with Terry moving in with Arlene.
Oh, that's so... Terry is
so
cute.
And she's so... She was just so grouchy, and he's like, okay, mm-hmm, whatever, mm-hmm, honey.
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
He is just so sweet. And, you know, I didn't go into detail on that, but when he's telling Sam, you know, I never felt so normal in my whole life. I'm doing stuff just like normal people do, and it feels great, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, poor little
Terry. And it's happening to me.
Yeah. Poor Terry.
That was sweet.
They
give him the sweetest line.
I know. He is so cute, though.
And then we get to see, again, Sookie's new power that she's got.
Yeah.
Whatever this is.
The light.
And, of course, Bill should have known. How are they? I mean, all of a sudden, they're going to have no guards at the doors, just one. When all the time we see him in the house, there's at least two guards with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Cooter's just going to come in there, knowing werewolves can't really fight vampires.
Well, but Cooter thinks he's that bad because he
well, when this happened, I was like, dumb Bill, they're going to follow your ass over there.
Mm-hmm.
He should know.
Mm-hmm. So that was the plan. I mean, that was the plan. So, yeah, you know. So, I mean, we can see that now, but because he already knew that Bill had lied to him.
Yeah.
King Russell. I mean... You know, Bill was already on the outs with the king. So, yeah, that was a dumb move. But, you know, that's what he was going to do. But, yeah, this was a good episode.
It was good. Now, we had several good emails and a couple of voicemails this time.
Cool.
So, let me go ahead and play our voicemails first.
Okay.
Hey, sisters. It's Denise. And I wanted to talk about the episode number 5, Trouble. And my main thoughts are about Franklin, and I'm just kind of disappointed. I thought Franklin was going to be cool, crazy, like, you know, eccentric crazy. I didn't know he was going to turn out to be serial killer crazy. So I'm kind of disappointed. I don't want to see him leave, but I don't want him to turn Tara into a vampire bride either. So I'm really conflicted. I'm worried, and I am disappointed because I know his story arc is probably going to come to an end. I wish he was more of a henchman and he wasn't so wrapped up with the main character of the show. Well, that's about it because I don't know how long I'll be able to record here and be able to email it to you. So love the show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh, that was good. Well, thank you, Denise, for that voicemail. And, you know, that's too bad that you're disappointed. I love Franklin. I love the character. Even all the craziness. I feel a little bit sorry, you know, of course, for Tara and stuff and the plight she has her in. But I don't think for a minute he's going to turn her. I just don't believe that that's going to be her storyline. So, you know, I'm not worried about that. But I like the fact that he's kind of psycho with it.
Well, yeah. I kind of wish the psycho wouldn't have come out so quick.
Well, but they got to get to it, though.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, you know.
And
they can't drag it out like they did that Marianne crap.
No, that went too damn long.
Too long.
I think they learned their lesson.
I think so, too. But
I like Franklin's character, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of disturbing that he is as crazy as he is.
But it's disturbing.
Kind of funny, too.
Yep.
And I'm glad to see that even though, you know, I like kind of what it's doing to Tara's story, too, because the first of the season, she's, oh, ho-hum, eggs is gone, I just want to die.
Yeah.
And now when she's faced with possibly someone killing her,
yep,
she don't want to die.
Of course not.
You know, she's trying to get away. So mm-hmm. I like that this has maybe brought back the spark of
spicy
life.
Tara.
Well, yeah. The spark of life. I mean, she's not going to be back to her spicy self because he's jacking with her, but
that's true.
It's bringing back the spark in her will to live, so I kind of like that part.
Okay.
But thank you so much for the voicemail, and actually Denise had sent us a second voicemail.
Oh, okay.
So let me play that one too.
Hey sisters, it's Denise again, and this comment is about episode 4, It Hurts Me Too. I haven't heard anybody mention what was my favorite line of the episode, and it was after Bill had firebombed Lorena, and they were putting her out with that rug, and Talbot mentioned, you know, this is a nice rug, you all are putting her out with it, and the king talked about, oh, we'll just put some plants over it, and then on the side said, anytime somebody chips a dessert plate, it's Armageddon around here. And Talbot kind of rolled his eyes and walked off. I love that. That was my favorite line of that episode. And I was reading Entertainment Weekly that they have been together 700 years. The Talbot and the King have been together 700 years. That's a long time. That's about 650 years too long, in my opinion. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because I hadn't heard anybody mention it. Love the show, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, Denise, I am with you on that. That is way too long. 700 years to be together with somebody.
Well, what Talbot told Eric was, he says, we've been together 700 years. It feels like, sometimes it feels like 7 million. That's what he said.
It would. Don't you think?
Ooh.
I think 50 years is a long time.
So that means that they were turned, or Talbot was turned, shortly before or after they got that rug that they was dousing Lorena's flames with, because he said it was from 13.
Well, I think it's before they got the rug, because otherwise they wouldn't have been together like that. So,
well, could be, but
I don't know. But yeah, that was a great line too. I did remember it, but we didn't talk about it in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how
that was good.
You know, he's bringing out all his little comments, like they say on the press.
He says, ooh, yeah, yeah. And King Russell was kind of put out. He said, dang.
You don't want to talk about no damn tapestry. Who cares?
We'll just put some plans on it. That was funny. Thank you for that voicemail,
Denise.
Thank
you, Denise. That was awesome. We had a couple of emails as well.
Okay.
And also some iTunes comments.
Okay.
So I guess let's read our iTunes comments first.
Okay.
I think we forgot to mention this one from the name listed as IDD222. And she says, this podcast is run by two very talented podcasters, Sister Day and Sister K. They do a wonderful job, and I look forward to each and every podcast. If you're a fan of True Blood, then this is one podcast that cannot be missed. I highly recommend every True Blood fan subscribe to Sister Speak True Blood. You don't know what you're missing. 5 stars.
Oh, that's woo, good. Woo. Thank you. It says DD.
It says IDD. 222.
Oh, IDD. Yeah. Okay.
The next one is signed by Tammy Grant. She says, these two women do a wonderful job at podcasting. They are humorous and a pleasure to listen to. After every episode of True Blood, I can't wait for Sister K and Sister J to post the review. They make my week.
Well, thank you. That's very nice to know. Well, we like doing it too, though.
We love it. And then the last one is from Kelly Michelle. And she says, each True Blood episode is not complete until you listen to Sister K and Sister J. These ladies give an amazingly detailed recap. Sister J.
Thank you so much.
Detailed does not have to be long.
Yeah, but I like the detail.
These ladies give an amazingly detailed recap of each episode and throw in their hilarious commentary about the show. I'm officially addicted to this podcast and look forward to it every week. Sister K and Sister J, keep them coming. Later, hookah.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that. Oh, well,
that's funny.
We thank y'all so much because, you know, we do have fun doing the podcast. So
even though we get waylaid and stuff.
Well, and you know, I am trying to shorten my recaps up, but I like the details because there's so much information in it that I just got to put it in there. In my recap. Okay.
Okay. So we have some emails.
Okay.
This is from Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Our great Tina.
Okay.
She says, oh, sookie sookie now, the heat is on. Sisters, did you see the way that King Russell's consort was looking at Eric like a piece of meat?
Oh, yeah.
Of course he did it in a classy way. He is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, doesn't King Russell remind you of Elvis during his Vegas beer belly days?
Yeah, but King Russell don't have a beer belly.
Kind of. A little bit of
a little pot belly.
Now to Sookie. You fucking my wolf? Oh, wow. Looks like Debbie Pell got some hood in her. Did you see all the neck popping when she said, I will cut you? Where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
When she said that, though, I did laugh.
I did laugh, too.
Like, I will cut you. Where did we hear that?
I forget.
I can't remember either. Franklin and Tara. This is insanity. His entire obsession with her.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Tara fleeing the big house like a runaway slave? Was this a crossover scene from Roots? Beloved? Then poor crazy Franklin was crying over Tara like he was about to have a nervous breakdown. See, sisters, once you go black, you can't go back. She might want to keep this one. He's a nice fixer-upper. Perhaps she can turn on her feminine wiles and glamour him and get a brother on the side. Like Snoop said, he wouldn't have to know unless she became his vampire bride.
Yep.
What did Sam's father, Joe Lee, mean when he told his brother, you'll make it up to me, won't you, boy?
Oh, yeah.
Just nasty.
Nasty.
Is he molesting that boy?
Yeah.
Remember he said, I own you head to tail. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is not looking right.
Mm-mm.
And Sam's mama got that same hint of crazy in her eye that Franklin had.
Yep.
All right, hookers. When I say hookers, I mean it in a loving and enduring way between sister friends. Laugh out loud. You know, I love Lafayette. Did you see the way that Lafayette and Jesus were interacting?
Mm-hmm.
I came by to see you, said Jesus. Dare I say that was Lafayette blushing?
Yeah, he was.
Jesus had him blushing. Did you see how he opened the door for him, too?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's only 9 hours. I have nothing else to do. Sister K and Sister J, how come Lafayette is about to land a better man than his cousin and he's alive?
I know it.
Oh, hell nah. Did Hoyt walk up in Merlot's with some $5 home dye job blonde head trollop?
Sure did.
Did y'all see how hurt baby Jessica was?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's saying smile at Tommy, who obviously wouldn't mind running naked with her somewhere. Baby Jessica, best watch out. I don't want them on Maury Povich. You are the father. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think Jessica's having sex anytime soon.
No.
Good Eric flashback. So Russell is the axis of evil and a skillful collector of antique goods.
Mm-hmm.
The last scene, as usual, is full of too much action. Sookie saw her Bill, too, but standing next to Alcide, Bill was looking kind of regular.
What'd he know?
Can't wait to see what this light is all about. Then there were the previews. More propaganda to get you glued to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sisters, that's all I have for this week. Tina.
Oh, thank you for that email. Yeah, those are some really good points, though. Really good
yes,
points.
Yes, and you are right. Next to our seed, Bill was looking kind of
he does
pale
look puny.
And regular.
Yeah, and I have to admit, though, Alcide was looking better to me this episode.
I tell you.
Yeah, he is a cute guy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next email is from Jane Ann.
Hey, Jane.
And she says, hello, ladies. I love your True Blood podcast. They really add to my enjoyment of the series. Wasn't the last episode truly crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I, too, was sick of Tara being a scaredy cat who was easily hoodwinked. But last episode, I found myself liking her scenes again.
Mm-hmm.
The old Tara I enjoyed from season one seemed to be showing through. She was the one doing the hoodwinking, finally. Franklin, although an obvious psychopath, is a great character.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he remains in the show for a few more episodes.
Me too.
He does seem to treat poor Tara like a living Barbie doll, but she did well to undo the curtain tassel wrist ties with her teeth. Did Franklin do her hair as well as choosing her nightdress? He must have hidden talents besides being psychotic, eyelash fluttering sex, and speed texting. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
I wrote back. I said, those did look like some curtain tassels.
I know it. They did. They did.
I bet you snatched him from the curtains in that bedroom.
I bet he did.
Listen, Sister K, I do like Alcide, and Jason can wash my car anytime. What do you ladies think of Tommy? It seems to me that giving him a scene with Lafayette means he really isn't so bad. Lafayette is, from memory, always a good judge of character.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again for your podcast. I'm looking forward to the next episode, Jane Ann.
Well, thank you for that email. And let me address the Tommy thing first, and that is, you know, I had a similar thought when I was watching that scene, and I've since watched it, you know, a couple times, and that is, I really like what they're doing with Tommy. That's what I meant in our discussion, where they're really showing how Tommy is growing up and his social skills are developing, you know, because it seems to me that when Sam found them, the Mickens more or less kind of stayed to themselves, including Tommy. Yeah, he worked at that garage and stuff, but he didn't interact with the people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing with Tommy, though. And I like Tommy as a character, too. I really do.
Yeah, I do, too.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm just intrigued to see more about what's going on.
Yeah, but and as far as for me, Franklin also, yeah, I hope they don't get rid of him too quick, though. But I already know, because I watched a little video recap from Alan Ball, like at the beginning of the season, that he said that there's some people that we really like that's going to be dead.
Oh,
nobody's safe. That's what he said. But that's from the director himself. So, you know. But I like Franklin, though. Yeah, he's crazy and everything. But that's
don't think he was talking about Frank.
Right. But that's an excellent character, though. That he's, and the actor playing that part, he is playing that part.
Okay, our next email is from Raina.
Hey,
and
Raina.
She says, dear sisters, I just want to say how much I love your podcast. True Blood is such a delicious obsession of mine, and I'm glad I'm not the only one. It just tickles me to hear your reactions, which are so similar to mine. I'm also a sister, so let me get to it. I loved this episode.
Yeah.
Let me start with Franklin, the psycho fugly thug. That whole texting thing had me rolling.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how crazy he is over Tara.
Yep.
She is so obviously lying to him, but he really wants to believe she could love him.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart. I almost felt bad for him with his disturbed behind. I'd go to Shawnee's with you anytime. Can't wait to see how this develops. Bill, you need to go sit down somewhere because I am done with you.
I know.
First, that whole nasty neck turn, dumping Sookie over the phone, and now trapping Sookie to intentionally make her power surface, which I think him and Russell planned.
Mm-hmm.
You're a vamper mess. Okay, let's stop real quick.
Okay.
So, she thinks that Russell and Bill planned it.
I don't think Russell and Bill planned it. I think King Russell planned it.
With Cooter.
Right. I think King Russell had that conversation with Bill in the library and then let Cooter know some information in order to get that result. And of course, he didn't think that Bill was going to beat him up and all that stuff.
I think he did.
Well, he might have, yeah. But he did it because he knew Bill would rush to Sookie.
And then they could follow him.
And they could follow.
And get to her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think Bill planned that part.
Because I don't think Bill did.
He doesn't want her hurt.
No.
Despite the fact that, you know, he's right. doing all this stuff.
But Russell did it, though. Russell mm-hmm. did it on purpose. Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to her email. She says, now Eric and Sookie, that's a relationship I can get behind. Mm-hmm. Since she has come into his life, he has shown more humanity than Bill ever has, for sure. And now seeing his motivation for finding the wolves' leader just makes me love him even more.
I know.
He's going to tear Russell up.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
He's going to have to figure something out.
I think Eric, this is what I think. I think Eric is going to, some kind of way, get Talbot to help him do it.
Oh, no.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. Despite the fact that Talbot's looking at Eric and salivating over Eric,
yeah.
he loves the king, and yeah, he's not going to do anything against the king. But that's his whole livelihood. That's the whole reason he is in the station he is in, is because he is with Russell, who happens to be the king.
Yeah, but
he is not going to jeopardize his position and his standing in life. I don't think so.
I think Eric's going to try. Yeah.
Okay, she goes on to say, aw, damn Jason with his slow ass.
I know.
I was so ticked at that whole look how dumb Jason is montage.
Yeah.
That was a waste of time, and Crystal is just as touched as he is.
Yeah.
They can have each other. But the ink under the nose was hilarious. Oh, Terry, I just want to hug you and your disturbed self. He was so proud to move in with Arlene. That was sweet. Mm-hmm. I just hope we get to meet Felix.
Yeah, the little armadillo under mm-hmm. his bed.
And Jolie, you make my ass itch. I am so curious and freaked out over what may be going on with him and Tommy. Ew. Mm-hmm. But I want to see the mom chained already. Mm-hmm. Hey, Susan Lafayette. I like how vulnerable and almost shy Lafayette was with him. But of course, I'm suspicious of this guy. Me too. Mm-hmm. Who would wait around a redneck bar for 9 hours just to play pool with you? He gets the side eye. Mm-hmm. And baby Jessica, you're my girl and all, but you have to stop glamoring people and just learn how to deal with people. But it totally makes sense why she does it. I wouldn't look her in the eye either. Well, that's all for now. Keep up the awesome podcasting, long recaps and all. All the best, Raina.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raina.
Especially for the comment about the long recaps and all.
I knew you was going to say that.
Because I do the long recaps.
And I am with you too, Raina. Hey, Sus, I'm kind of suspicious of that too.
A little bit, yeah.
A little, because this is too...
convenient.
I mean, he's complimenting Lafayette a lot. Mm-hmm. And he's spending a lot of time there just on the off chance that they'll... play pool? I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that.
We'll have to see about mm-hmm. him. Okay, our last email is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
And he says, hello, sisters. I hope you are well. I'm calling a truce, Sister J. In my first email, I spoke about your recaps running a bit long. And last week, I sent you 2 long-ass emails.
Yes, you did.
I cringed every time you mentioned the length of them, so I am appealing to your better judgment to accept my request.
No, we love the long emails,
though.
We do.
Okay, he says, didn't Franklin play his fangs off this episode, sisters? Hmm. Okay, I will limit my responses to a couple of funny lines and will hopefully ask a few thought-provoking questions. Funny lines. Franklin to Tara, referring to Talbot. Just ignore him. He's the cleaning lady.
I know.
Russell to Franklin. The last time you ever had any real money, you ended up at the slots in Biloxi slaughtering a church group of elderly women. Franklin, they wouldn't let me have a turn.
Yeah, that was good.
Tara to Franklin. We need to talk. Franklin, don't say that. Women say that, and everything turns black, and I wake up surrounded by body parts.
Yeah.
Tara. But if we are going to be together, you have to remember that I am alive. I have needs like food. Franklin, right. I am ashamed. Tara, aw, baby, it's just a thing. I'll remind you.
Yeah, she was good.
Just a few questions and comments I thought about during the episode. I did not think Cooter could invite Russell into Allseed's home. I guess I'm still learning the ropes of vampire home entry.
The reason he could do that. No, I tell you why. The reason Cooter could do that is because, as Sookie told Debbie, she had already screwed Cooter and 2, 3, 4 other guys in that apartment. So at that time, she invited him in. It was still her apartment, so he could go in there.
No, but he's saying, how could Cooter invite King Russell in there?
Well, I don't even think
Cooter did not own the house.
Okay, this is my own opinion. I think he just said that. I don't think King Russell needed an invitation.
Yeah, he might not.
I really don't.
He probably did.
Because he is something more than a vampire.
Yeah.
So I don't think King Russell even needed an invitation.
That's probably more it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that doesn't explain how the little guard got in there.
Maybe he was there with Cooter before, too.
But that's not his house, so he couldn't. Because remember how Franklin, when he went to Jessica's and said, well, the human owner is...
The last owner of the house.
Has been dead for over a year.
And as I'm repeating myself, that apartment belonged to who? Alcide and Debbie. And Debbie was screwing who?
But that doesn't make it his house to invite people in.
Well, but it could be that little vampire henchman accompanied Cooter. Who knows? I think it's a good point.
We need to find out how this works, this home entry stuff.
Mm. Okay, go ahead.
That would make more sense if it was because they're werewolves and since they're not human.
Well, of course, Cooter
that
could
would
go
make
in.
More sense that King Russell could go in there because Alcide's not human. So it couldn't be a human house.
Well, true, but I think King Russell can go in there because he's more than a vampire. That's what I think for him anyway. I think he could probably go in any house.
Okay, so Myron goes on to say, Debbie told Alcide that Russell was more than a vampire. What else could he be?
Yeah.
In Eric's flashback, there was that person in that hooded cloak. We assume it's Franklin. His appearance was somewhat magical, don't you think?
Well, okay, let's stop right there.
I think he assumes it's Russell.
Okay, because, when you said that, I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's a typo because, no, there's no question that it is Russell. It's not Franklin.
He goes on to say, is Bill really a blonde? How could he not know he was being set up by Russell and sending Cooter into his room to agitate him and leading them to Sookie?
Yep.
There's no doubt now that Bill has been deceiving Russell all along. Bill is in trouble.
Yes.
Is Sookie attracted to danger?
Yep.
I am beginning to see the similarities between her and Jason. Jason is led by his libido, let's say. Sookie is led by her heart. Both of them make decisions that almost always have dire consequences.
That's a good point.
If Pam is not rescued in the next episode, I will recruit Snoop Dogg and we will ride on that magister and his punk bitch-ass vampires, Pitbull style.
No.
He says, that was for you, Sister K, regarding your rant about punk-ass men in your previous podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I will say no more about that. I, as always, look forward to your next installment, a Sister Speak fan.
Oh, Lord.
New Jersey boy, Myron.
Oh, wait, read that last paragraph again. That's hilarious.
He says, if Pam is not rescued in the next episode, I will recruit Snoop Dogg, and we will ride on the magister and his punk bitch-ass vampires, Pitbull style.
That is hilarious. That is so good.
We do need to see Pam.
Yes.
I mean, come on. But it's been a day or so. We need to get back to...
Right.
We need
it's
to get that.
Almost 48 hours, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But not quite. But yeah, it's coming up on 48
it's coming
hours
up.
Now.
We can't have Pam dying.
They better not get rid of Pam. I love Pam.
I won't revolt,
but I'll be real mad. I'll be sending them some email. They don't want one of my emails now.
They don't care.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they read them.
They don't give a rat's.
I'm sure they read it.
About your email.
Yeah, well, mine are good, though.
Okay, well, that was all the emails we had.
Okay.
So
those were good emails.
Yes, thank everyone so much for your emails. And we've also had a lot of great comments on Facebook. So I encourage people to go out to our Facebook page to join into the conversation.
Yep.
So if y'all would like to send an email, our email address is sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our voicemail number is 972-692-7341. Or you can do like Denise did today, record your own message and email it to us. We can do that as well.
Yep.
Our website is sistersinreview.com, and we are both on Twitter, _SisterJ and _SisterK. That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.